But going back to what I was about to say is my listeners, my viewers, mm-hmm. these people, we got in Cleveland, we got Carol Crunchlegs over here, and Boston, we got Larry Lemonade Lips.
Larry Lemonade Lips.
Yeah, they're all watching.
Oh, I know. I actually know of Larry Lemonade.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. What's he do for a living?
I think he still works down at Danny's.
Danny's. Yes, it's him.
And they're all out there, but they wanted me to ask more provocative questions. So here it is.
I'm an open book.
Do you brunch?
No.
Okay, next question.
It's not even, really flush it out even a little.
You're riding down the Harland Highway.
All right, hold tight on the Harland Highway Show.
Harland Williams.
Here we go.
Are you? We won't go until you're comfortable. Like I love you.
I love you. Yeah. I'm very comfortable. This whole thing, good. I don't want to keep.
No, talk.
Can
please.
I talk about
it? Yeah, please.
I'm having an epiphany as soon as I sat here. And I'm being genuine,
I know you are.
Because I don't know why you just... now, that's a stupid thing to say. I was just going to go, everything you do makes me laugh, but that's what a moron says. Yeah. And you're like, wait.
Wait, what?
So, about the comfortability of a podcast.
Yeah.
And I realized, this isn't it. It's not like a table. It doesn't look like a conference room. And it's not a sofa. I'm so much more comfortable. I just feel like your bottom half is
Yep.
And then you have something to lean on. And
yeah.
I'm so much more... This really would influence if because I stopped doing my podcast.
You did?
Yeah. But if I started up again...
This could be an influence.
I'm stealing your...
You like the aesthetic of this.
Everything about it.
Yeah, I didn't want to do where it's too casual, sitting on a couch. I like this configuration where I can look right at you. I've been on some podcasts where the guy's right beside you on the couch and you're like...
That's hard.
Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, this is like...
Yeah.
Caramel corn and candy floss all over my fat sister's greasy forehead.
And we'll be back right after this.
Whoa, maybe we won't. Let's hit the theme music. Todd Glassy is here, gang. Wow. Holy smokes. Buddy.
Is that like a cold opening, maybe?
Yeah.
You could say that.
Yeah, this is like a cold opening, a theme. Folks, Todd Glass is here. As I've always called you Glassy. Did you ever like that nickname, or did it rub you the wrong way?
Oh, no. I would take any nickname. You might have been one of the only people that ever... Maybe three nicknames my whole life. Not enough.
You want more nicknames?
Well, if they're...
What about Lonnie Lullaby Eyes? That's a nickname, guy. Good old Lonnie Lullaby Eyes. Look at you.
Have you ever said that before?
No.
Oh, Jesus. I swear, at first I thought, I don't think I'm going to like this nickname. I'm not going to just, I'm going to really judge it. And then as it went on, it turned into a nice thing.
LLE.
Yeah. You say Golden Retriever Eyes, basically.
Oh, yeah.
But what is the name again?
Lonnie Lullaby Eyes.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
What a treat.
Funny, man.
Folks, Todd Glass is your comedian, writer, actor, and we're going to get into it right off the top because you have a new show that we got to talk about. Okay. Please.
First of all, why do I have to comment on everything? Maybe because I want you to know the relaxed state that I'm in.
Yeah.
I don't want to look like I'm there just to push it. Matter of fact, I'll spend so little time talking about the show
and
the crowdsource. Doesn't take a lot of time.
Okay.
But I do like to get it out of the way.
Yeah, me
just
too.
Just do it. Then we
get
can
it out of the way, and then we can end the show early.
Oh. We'll get you out of here, get you back in your car. What if they go, you can tell in Harland's show, he's a nice guy, but if he doesn't like you, you go. And then I go, and then that happened to me. I'm like, whoa, soon? Yeah, give you dates. Let's get you back in your car, get you back to your home where you're comfortable.
Glassy, I did a minute, 45 seconds with Theo Vaughn and shut him down. He sat there for a minute, 45. Theo Vaughn out. Joe Rogan, 36 seconds.
36 seconds.
I don't need bullshit.
No,
I'm here to do a podcast.
Thank you. Vaughn,
people. Rogan.
Sick of this shit. I'm going to agree. I like to be the yes man for somebody because it's fun. It's like just whatever you say to go, fuck that, you know, just give me a little more to see if I can yes man. Like, I'm your buddy, always makes you look.
Well, I finally murdered my sister.
Thank you. Thank you. Everyone else, I'm going to murder my sister. My friend, he said he's going to murder his sister. 3 years later, she's not murdered.
Oh, idiot. I did it. At least I followed through.
This guy follows through, this guy. Thanks, okay. I didn't do that good.
No, you're fine.
No. Edit this out.
No way. I
put
can't.
It back. Put it back in then.
What I'll do is I'll cut it out.
And then put it back.
And then I'll put it back in.
That's my style.
Yeah.
That's my style.
And I really am going to do it. Well, I finally murdered my sister.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Everyone else, I'm going to murder my sister. My friend, he said he's going to murder his sister. 3 years later, she's not murdered.
Oh, idiot. I did it. At least I followed through.
He follows through, this guy. Thanks, okay. I didn't do that good.
No, you're fine.
No. Edit this out.
No way. I
put
can't.
It back. Put it back in then.
What I'll do is I'll cut it out.
And then put it back.
And then I'll put it back in.
That's my style.
Yeah.
That's my style.
And I really am going to do it.
So
tell us about your shindig.
How do people really know whether you edited it out and edited it in? Is there something you could do?
I'm going to blatantly just do it.
Yeah, put it in twice. Maybe they'll
That's
know.
What I'm going to do.
They're not fucking around.
Yeah, I might even pop it in a third time now.
Thank you.
I feel like you're dancing around your show. No, I'm not. You don't even want to plug it, do you?
No, I do. I do.
Why do you hate your own show?
No, callers, go
classy.
Ahead. And I didn't mind that at all. I will.
Okay.
Because I have a little spiel on it.
Okay.
So, but it seems it's like I just got to get, if I get it out, everybody can go home early, right?
Okay.
So here's what it is.
Yeah.
All this, it's like, how do you... There is a thing, there's a concept reel on YouTube. It's called Todd Glass, The Event of a Lifetime.
Right.
And I'm only saying this with comfortability because I didn't edit it, but my friend Steve Rosenthal did. And he did a great job.
Great editor.
He's one a good, of the best. He is a very good editor.
Love him.
And he put this 4.5 minute thing together, and it's not easy to do that. Yeah. You know, you want to put everything in the kitchen sink.
Tight.
It's there, 4.5 minutes.
It's tight.
When you're done watching it.
Yeah.
You're going to go, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, Todd's, it is. It shows exactly what the show is.
Two words. I watched it 3 times in a row.
Thank
Two
you.
Words, tight and ripe, came right, like, just boom.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
So
tight and ripe.
What I've already talked about, we can bypass. I've always tried at comedy. This will explain the show that I want to do in New York. That's what I'm doing right now.
It's
to be clean thought, Todd. You're explaining the show that you want to do in New York and why you have a crowdsource. So here we go.
Yeah.
So I've already, over the years, always cared about clubs. You know, like the music I play as they're coming in. And I've always, I just wanted to take it to a different level.
Detail oriented.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I it's like a big band. But I thought, what's every opportunity to turn it into an event? And not just some fucking bullshit line, oh, it's an event. No, it's a goddamn event.
Yeah.
I have a saxophone player playing in the street before the doors open.
I saw it. It's in the video.
It's in the video.
You can see the guy.
And it, and then it, so, sometimes I laugh at you and then I think, wait, he was being funny, right? Because then you got a good, you look stern. And then I don't know if I'm fucking up or not.
No, you're fine.
So, So there's a lot of elements to the show. After the show, the band plays in the street. I try to have an ice cream truck. But at the guts of it, it's a very, very tight stand-up show.
Yeah.
If you're craving stand-up, this is not a one-man, this is a stand-up show.
Yeah.
With a lot of production around it.
Yeah.
Here we go into the close.
Yeah.
So even this year, I toured without the band because I want to make my stand-up as tight as it possibly can be.
Yeah, yeah.
So... Look, this is not just a line. Like it's very, very high probability that this show will be successful.
Yeah,
I've been working on it for a long time.
How many years are we talking?
How many years have I been doing stand up? Is the question specifically on this 5, 6, 7 years? But
Damn.
I've been going towards this type of show for my whole career.
Yeah,
so I really believe this. Here's the close. The only way I think you can go wrong.
Yeah.
Is to not have the serious funding, not only for production, but to promote it. I mean, I'm talking about like when they bring a play to New York, not like, oh, $20,000. That's not that much.
Yeah.
So we need like $50,000. That's just for to promote it. Otherwise, it's a waste.
This is what we're asking for right
now. Well, we're asking for, this is one of the items.
Yeah.
It's a lot more than that.
$50,000.
Well, that's just one of them.
Just one of the asks.
Yeah, yeah. No, we're not asking for that. I'm just giving you, like, when you break it, we are asking for $140,000.
Okay, now we're at 140.
We're asking for 140 altogether.
Yeah.
But one chunk of that is what I just said.
The 40.
It's 40. Yeah. We'll go to, I'm just trying to give, that's where a lot of the money goes. And then there's production and other things in the band. But anyway, nevertheless, I don't want this to, the only thing that could go wrong is not to have that budget. So I'll wait it out. So when we do it, it's ready. It is something. I mean, it's something to see. Yeah. I know that's weird. I'm saying that.
No.
But it's something to see. It's a fucking night out.
It's something to see. Check out the thing that was cut together. And one of the big overheads you have that I got to ask you about is how many guys in this band? You got a big band set up. That could be part of your big expense, but it's worth it.
You know, I don't know if it's good that I tell this or don't. But I think it's interesting. I don't think it ruins it.
Okay.
So sometimes I'll have like three band members.
Yeah.
And like, let's say you get a lot. To me, you get the most out of, if you can have more, I'd have more.
But
the most bang out of the littlest, drums, keyboards, and trumpet. I mean, they can wail.
They can wail. Yeah.
They can wail.
Those cats can blow.
Oh, my God. It's a lot of clean noise, you know. And then
if you decide to bring in the guy from the sidewalk, now you got, another guy.
I do. I do have that guy.
So you don't leave him outside? Not only leave him outside. Off and,
I thought about when I want to save money, I could go get a local saxophone player, just have him do the outside thing. That way you're not
like a busker.
Maybe a bus. What is a busker? I was going to just agree, but
it's a guy who drives a bus, but in Finland. It's called a busker. Yeah.
No, I don't believe you. It's also
a coffee table at IKEA, the busker. And it's got the two dots over the U.
Okay. For $1 million, is Harlan lying to me? And I'm going to guess. I'm going to say you are not telling me the truth. Oh, he is. What is that from? I love it.
This is my theme song.
Oh, I like it. I thought I heard it a little while.
We heard it just a few minutes ago.
So nevertheless.
Okay, so just jumping right back into it. So you've got this beautiful big.
Then we'll wrap
it up. No, this is great. Okay. You got the beautiful big band, and then you've kicked the sax player out onto the sidewalk.
I kicked him out on the sidewalk. Yeah. I was saying that, so I'll have three band members, but sometimes I'll put in four. They don't have to do stand-up, but they have to have, improv back. Usually comedians in suits.
Got it.
To beef up the band. To really give it a full feel. Sometimes I've had four comedians and only three instruments. You can't tell. You give them bongos, you give them tambourines. But there's, because not only are there the music ability, part of the show, there's the bits.
Well, so it's hard these days to find a funny guy and a mandolin player bundled into one.
Exactly.
And if you can put that together.
Then you got something.
You might as well suck the saliva out of my sister's eyelids. Wait a minute, guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. It's good. Okay.
Okay. So, keep going.
I think I'm all done. That's what it is. At my website, the cleanest way to get them over there, toddglass.com.
Yeah.
Boom. It'll take you right over to Seed and Spark, and that's where the website is.
And there you can see the trailer, everything.
You see the trailer. Yeah. It's on YouTube, but it's also there. And a message from me where I break it down.
Like a friendly message.
Hey, everybody, Todd. Thanks for coming here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm better with the word than the clean on the writing it on a paper, you know.
And if people wanted to crowdfund, which is where they donate a few bucks.
Yes.
If they wanted to donate to the thing you're doing, the show, there's that. And then is there a little side button where if someone wanted to donate to the freezing sax player out on the sidewalk, can they help him get a meal? Or
because I like you so much, I really feel like we should go there and start up a campaign for the guy out
the guy on the street.
Maybe we get him a heated blanket or a space heater for him.
Maybe so you had a nice heated blanket for his swollen, puffed up ankles.
Or we get him I was trying to think like a space heater, a mobile little studio that's got glass around it, so he plays, but he's inside.
Oh, speaking of mobile, one of the things this thing you're doing shows your dedication to comedy. You're one of the guys that just, to me, you're one of the guys that lives and breathes and is comedy.
I do.
Love it. It's you. Like, it's in your fiber.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's still a lot of fun. I still fucking love it. And with the band,
yeah,
I'm not going to lie, without the band, it's great. With the band, it's fucking fun.
It's fun. And you've always had this commitment, because I'll never forget. I've never seen anything like it. We were in Montreal at the Montreal Festival one year. I'm coming out of a club. A white van pulls up on the curb. The doors fly open. Some guy unfolds two big things. It's a brick wall. Pulls out a mic. He turns around. It's you. And you got a sign that says comedy on the road.
Right.
You got a comedy club coming out of your van. And you're just stopping wherever you want and doing a show.
Oh, my God. That Todd Glass mobile comedian started as a joke with Dave Rath and I. And we go, because comedy was everywhere.
Yeah.
It was like, what was it, 80s?
80s, everywhere.
Or, and this could have been like even 90.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
88, 89.
Yeah.
And so he goes, you should, what it was a pickup, it was a Nissan pickup truck.
Yeah.
So. And then the brick wall would fold up. Yeah. And then the speakers, some guy made it for me. And the festival saw me do that at the Irvine Improv. I would just go out after the show. I had a wireless mic. So it was basically a roaming PA system.
I know. It was crazy.
And they hired me to go up to the festival.
I remember.
They hired me to go up to the festival.
Dude, I walked out of one of the clubs that was in the Fed. There you were, like, hey, gang, like, what's up? On this curb.
I was a little embarrassed, too. So
it was like, hilarious.
Sometimes I was embarrassed, and sometimes I'd enjoyed it.
Oh,
isn't that weird?
But that's what I mean. Your commitment to the comedy, it's like, dude, no holds barred.
I even have a keyboard player with me there. I remember he'd sit in the front seat and he'd do music for me because I wanted music outside. Todd Glass, mobile comedian, man.
Wow, unbelievable.
He lives, he breathes.
Well, congrats on your show, buddy, and thanks for the good 20-minute plug, and I hope we get people to go to it. Let's say the name one more time.
Oh, we Seed and Todd, I think it's toddglass.com.
Yeah.
Takes you right over to Seed and Spark.
Oh, what's Seed and Spark?
The crowdsource, I guess you could say.
Seed and Spark?
Seed and Spark. They do a lot of indie films and stuff. I like them. I like the whole vibe over there, you know?
Oh, sounds like a law firm down there.
Seed and Spark.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
For gardeners. Seed and Spark. God.
Have you had a client not pay you the money they deserve you after you've taken care of their lawn for months on months? Call the lawyer firm of Seed and Spark. Yeah. We'll take care of all your garden needs or whatever garden laws.
Yeah.
Seed and Spark. You would trust them if you were you're a landscaper, someone won't pay you.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah.
Call Seed and Spark.
Seed and Spark.
They're good.
They're like the Larry H. Parker of the greenhouse set. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
So one of the things, buddy, you came on an interesting episode.
Mm-hmm.
Because my viewers have been saying, you know, I should be a little more controversial. I should ask more poignant questions.
Oh, okay.
Like, get in deeper.
Let me chew gum because it makes me relax.
Chew some gum.
But I won't be loud.
I'd love to chew gum with you if you don't mind.
Yes. Can I tell you what this is?
Yeah,
why
please.
I love this stuff?
Yeah.
And they're not a sponsor.
What's it called?
Hubba Bubba.
Hubba Bubba's not a sponsor?
No. But Hubba Bubba, it is good.
Wow, this just comes out like a strip.
Like a strip.
Yeah.
You know how this is the flavor of the baseball gum, which I do think has a good flavor, but it's always old.
Mm.
And this is like brand new baseball gum. To me, that's what it tastes like, right?
Yeah, it comes in like a case.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most gum, you unwrap it in paper. That comes in a plastic gum case.
Can I tell you something? I'm being totally honest with you.
Please. I love it.
I didn't always hide when I took some out in the airplane. Like, I go through phases of loving this. So I wouldn't always hide it. I would just open it up and take a piece out. And then one day, it just happened. I looked at it from another person's perspective. And I looked like, really? Is this guy like, he's eating this bubble tape? Like, it looked. So now I do it out of my bag. I like hold it in my bag and I'll rip a piece off, you know?
Oh, wow.
I'm embarrassed to have my Hubba Bubba tape out in public.
But maybe when you do it from the
bag. Not here.
Yeah, like, not here. No, it's out in the open.
On a plane.
I would think if you're on a plane and you're pulling a strand out of a bag where you can't see the casing.
No, I mush it up in my hands.
Oh, so you're not, because I would think you're just pulling the lining out of your bag and eating your bag. Which... just eating your bag.
Oh my God, just the visual.
Yeah, right? It's like,
wow.
It looks like the stripping from inside, like a gym bag or a, whatever your bag is.
No, I do it. You know it. I reach down, I pull, and then I take a lot. Like, and also I take probably equivalent of 4 pieces of gum.
Yeah, you've got like big wads going. Mm-hmm. Like when you came in, I could hear you chewing.
No,
like,
you did?
Yeah, it was like a manatee going off.
No, shut up. No, it
was. No, it was. It was like, you ever see a manatee underwater like eating sea kelp and just... I was like that.
Okay, guess what? I just swallowed my gum because I will not be that person.
No, you didn't.
Yeah,
you can't. That's going to be in you for 7 years.
Harlan, this is the truth. I'm only telling you this so you'll know how serious that I'm telling you this. I'm not proud of this. But like on my podcast, amongst all the absurdity, sometimes out of a safe word, it would be truth. That way, okay, I'm going to listen to your story because it's important. So truth. I have never, I'm going to say never, maybe 20 times.
Yeah.
Never spit a piece of gum out my entire life.
What?
Yes.
Have you stuck it somewhere?
No, I'd swallow it.
You just swallowed your gum.
Yeah. And
open your mouth for the camera right here. Where you swallowed your gum?
I swallowed it.
That stays in you for like 7 to 12 years.
I heard that's not true. My doctor told me that's not true.
All right, well, this is true. You're going to fart later and your asshole's going to blow a bubble.
I used to say, my grandfather told me if you... Wait, basically that. I used to have a joke.
Yeah.
My grandfather told me if you swallow your gum, you're shit out of bubble. And then I say he died a week after that, so...
Uh-oh, I just said it. How was his voice, though? Did he say it like, if you swallow your bubble gum, you're going to shit a bubble?
You know what's funny? People don't get old voice as... early as they used to. Like, you know, I think in like when I was little, it seemed like if some I know this has been talked about before, but if somebody was like 50, especially when I was little, they were old. Yeah.
Yeah, now 50 is like people are going to the Playboy Mansion and eating rhubarb.
Yes, exactly. Did I digress? You were going somewhere. You go, oh, they want to see you be more controversial.
Well, before we do that, dude, I'm a little worried that you swallowed the gum because Is it scientifically proven that you will pass the gum, or will it sit in there?
Well, you know, as I said to you, I asked my doctor. I'm being right. Yeah. I go, did you, Todd? Or is it in your head that you did?
Yeah.
Like, and I'm almost positive I asked a doctor once.
Okay.
But let's say I didn't. Let's say you have that in your head, but you didn't.
Okay.
Aren't I living proof? I mean, the gum would be...
Yeah.
It would be everywhere. My body would just all be gum.
Yeah.
What if I bit into my thumb and blew a bubble?
Whoa. Bubble boy.
Bubble boy. Here you go.
Do you want to have some more gum? I feel bad that I forced you. Your chewing wasn't...
It wasn't... Here's the thing.
It wasn't loud, irritating. It was soothing, to be honest.
I don't mind it sometimes. I guess it... But I know it's a thing for people on podcasts when you eat into the mic. Even nice people will go, it's so I go, oh, when you said I was loud.
I'm going to say it was loud, but there's a real pentameter to your chewing. It's almost sort of musical. So please,
you didn't have to.
Yeah, please chew some more.
Well, you know what? Since you're giving me, the people that listen to your podcast are not going to get mad at me for chewing.
No.
It's fun to chew gum and talk, so.
It's going to be soothing. A lot of people mostly listen to this podcast to fall asleep at night.
Oh, okay.
And your chewing will just be sort of like in being in the womb.
Thank you. That makes me feel better.
The double bubble womb. But going back to what I was about to say is my listeners, my viewers, these people, we got in Cleveland, we got Carol Crunchlegs over here, and Boston, we got Larry Lemonade Lips.
Larry Lemonade Lips.
Yeah, they're all watching.
Oh, I know. I actually know of Larry Lemonade Lips.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. What's he do for a living?
I think he still works down at Danny's.
Danny's, yes. It's him, yeah.
Yeah, and they're all out there, but they wanted me to ask more provocative questions, so here it is.
I'm an open book.
Do you brunch?
No.
Okay, next question.
really flush it out even a little. When you said you mean brunch, you mean to eat the lunch?
Yeah, do you brunch with friends? I look at you and I go, there's a bruncher.
Mm-mm.
Like I picture you out on a Sunday.
You want to know the truth?
Yeah.
I don't eat during the day that much. I'm not that hungry during the day. So
but
I,
brunch is kind of...
I know, but I won't eat. Because once I eat, I'm done for the day. Like, I don't. Oh. I can't eat at 5. I can't eat before a show. I can't eat. That's why I eat late at night. I know it's the worst time. But
yeah.
Once I go, oh, if I eat this, I'm going to be stuffed. I'm like, good. What do I have to do to that I can be stuffed? I'll drive home. I'll sit on the sofa and I'll watch television or something. But I don't want to be stuffed before I go out. Does that make sense?
Wow.
Who cares? I'm sorry for talking.
No, maybe that's why the gum chewing is in play, because it, you know, you don't have to eat. You fool yourself. Well, you're psychologically double bubbling yourself.
It helps me. Jolly Ranchers have been a savior to me, too.
Oh, really?
Like, if I don't want to have a dessert, I don't need to have, like, some...
What's a Jolly Rancher?
You know.
No, is it like a squishy candy?
No, it's not squishy. It's more of like a hard candy, but the flavors are great.
Like sour apple and stuff like
that? Some stuff like that, right. And normal grapes, but all the flavors are just very vibrant.
Wow.
Flavors. And
Jolly Rancher.
Jolly Ranchers. They're good.
How'd they arrive at that name? Like a rancher?
Jolly Rancher. It's funny. You hear that, but you don't like Jolly. Okay, Jolly.
Jolly.
It's Jolly.
Yeah. Like,
I want to know. You could probably Google it.
Like,
Why am I talking like that?
I don't know. Google. Maybe you have early onset of dementia.
No, I hope not.
Well, you might.
I might. Everybody might. Get over it already.
Get over it. Dementia.
I'm just going to actually tell people I have it. Yeah. I go, you know what? Yeah. I live every day. Yeah. I'm trying my hardest.
Yeah, you're trying it.
People go, Todd's doing pretty good.
But you don't.
With dementia.
You don't hear jolly. Like, when was the last time you ever used it in a conversation? Mm-mm. Hey, there goes a jolly guy.
Well, I could see you using it.
Yeah.
Because you have a very colorful, would you say?
Yeah. Vocabulary.
Yes, jolly. Very playful, jolly.
Yeah. Did you have a jolly jumper when you were a baby? Do you know what
something
those are?
Something like it I most likely had.
Remember that the, they had in the door frame and your parents would hang?
Yeah, we had that.
The jolly jumper?
Is that what it was called?
That's what it was called when I was a kid. And the kid would bounce in it in the door frame. And they just bounce up and down in the jolly jumper.
Oh, can I tell you something? I'm almost positive. If they had that for adults somewhere, who cares? Maybe it's some theme park and it's like a gimmicky thing. So, you know, you miss your job. I bet that would still be pretty soothing.
Oh,
even.
Yeah. Just because you get in the door frame and you bounce up and down.
It's
and
only as much as you want.
Yeah, they're little legs. And I remember my little sister was in the jolly jumper when we were kids. And we had these neighbors across the street who wouldn't shut up partying, Van Halen music, everything. And one time I got so mad, my little baby sister was bouncing up and down in the jolly jumper. I got a Sharpie and I wrote shut up on her forehead, pulled her back and shot her across the street right through their living room window.
No.
Yeah. They were pretty quiet after that, Glassy. Dear sweet Glassy.
Let me tell you something, and I don't want to just keep saying it because I know it's not, you know, I get it. People smoke pot, who cares?
But yeah. Like,
if you're watching this out of my paranoia and you think, oh, Todd's over laughing at Harlan.
Yeah.
You smoke pot and rewatch the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm sitting right here. It's a lot. It's good. I love it, by the way. I'm sitting right here. It's a lot. It's good. I love it, by the way.
I love it, too. And I'm that little bit you just did there when you went like this, I'm going to re-edit that back in again.
Oh, thank
so
you.
So we hit that twice.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
You've always been nice to me.
Yeah. You're going to get a double bubble.
Hey, did you swallow your gum?
No, I couldn't.
Okay.
I'd be scared. I'd be scared to swallow it.
Well, seriously, and I'm not, what do you think about the fact that, don't I represent that you can swallow your gum? Unless I'm lying and you go, he didn't swallow. I'm telling you, why would I brag about such a stupid
thing?
True,
but this is such a new thing to me.
New, I've been doing it my whole life. I'm 32. Know,
but it's the first time I'm here.
32. Just go along. Okay, I'm sorry. It wasn't worth that bit.
No, it was great.
I stopped you.
But this is my first time hearing it as a human being swallowing, and then you did it right in front of me. I'm still in a little bit of apoplectic shock.
You know what? I've never done this before. I like that word.
Yeah.
I've never done this before, but can people email you somewhere if there's someone else out there going, I guess... is there someone else? Is it more common than we think? I know there's people that don't do it. I get it. Most people don't do it. But are there people out there that are going, I don't.
This is great because there's a phone number right there. If you want to call it and comment about Todd's gum swallowing, 323-696-0222.
Oh, they can call.
They can call and leave a message. Leave a voicemail.
And don't, please, if you mm-hmm. if you know it's bad for me, that's okay too. But what we're really going for here, is there anybody out there that goes that swallows their gum?
Yeah.
And I don't chew a ton. Well, I would chew say a I lot. Chew about one of these a week.
So like two suitcase liners a week?
Two suitcase liners.
Wow.
Anyway, so here we are.
Hey, everybody. Check out my merchandise at harbling.com. Yeah, most people just slap some letters or images on a t-shirt or a hoodie, but not me. Yours truly. Guess what? I draw my own designs at harbling.com. You can see tons of my hand-drawn t-shirts. You can either buy the original or you can buy a print. And man, oh man, wear them loud and proud. I love making these designs for you guys and keeping it personal. So check out the whole catalog. We got hoodies, we got coffee mugs, we got t-shirts, you name it. It's there at harbling.com. Get your Harland original design, wearable art at harbling.com today. And thank you for your support. And I'll just keep the groovy images coming. So I heard recently, I was reading an article about you, mm-hmm. and it was a pretty powerful piece. It was in the New York Times, and they're talking about how you ran into some problems with the food rating system here in LA, where they put the letter in the window.
Oh.
What the hell happened, guy?
I went to a restaurant.
Yeah.
They had a D in the window.
Yeah.
I'm like, and next to it, the guy wrote Alicious.
Yeah.
I'm like,
whoa.
You don't get it. I went up to the guy, go, sir, you don't give it the, you got it. Yeah. Did you get a D? Be honest. He goes, yeah. No, I got a Delicious.
Wow.
I go, sir. I'm like, I'm not usually arguing. I don't usually, because they say if you argue with an idiot, no one knows who the idiot is from afar. But I couldn't help myself.
Wow.
I go, sir, then why is the D professionally written like in blue, like it's printed, and the Alicious is written in a like a black magic Sharpie?
Yeah.
He goes, that's what my wife said.
Wow.
I go, sir, you're mind fucking me, because it's supposed to make it look like even he's saying, my wife's saying the same thing, but I didn't do it. So anyway, I ended up getting him closed down.
You did?
He got deported. Oh, I don't like that joke, deported part of it.
Yeah.
You know, even in comedy.
That's also D. It could be D and then he deported.
He didn't get. You know how even in your bits sometimes, I'm like, I don't want sadness from somebody. So the whole building burnt down. He got insurance and he's living in the Bahamas.
Well, I went to an Arby's down in Westwood and they had an F in the window and there was an uck off. With this
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Is that a true story?
Are you a socializer, or do you keep to your? Oh God, are you puking?
I almost.
Oh my God! Did you regurgitate like a cow? Like do you chew your cud with the gum?
I was. It's a bad habit. I think because it's like food, so it's like eating a cookie. How long can you mush it around your mouth before you?
Yeah.
You know. Ugh. So I go to swallow it, like because it's like it's food, or something, or a candy that you can swallow. And then I didn't want to, so I was like, it was right at that point when I could have, but then I saved it.
It was just sort of hanging right around by your uvula.
Exactly.
Oh wow!
But now it's back.
The uvula actually looks like a piece of gum too, doesn't it? That little that little pink thing that dangles at the back of your throat
looks like. You could certainly make a little fake one out of this Hubba Bubba if you needed to for whatever reason.
Are you a mouth breather at night? Because here's why I'm asking. I'm a mouth breather, so I breathe with my mouth open. And one night I woke up in the middle of the night and four elves with boxing gloves were punching my uvula. It was unbelievable.
Now that I believe. I do believe that only because the other comedians had told me that story.
Okay.
You woke up. Say what happened again. What happened? No, seriously. What happened again? You woke up.
I woke up in the middle of the night and four elves with boxing gloves were punching my uvula.
Oh, did you freak out?
No, I swallowed them.
Oh, you swallowed
them. They're gone.
Oh, dear.
Now,
so do I? I don't know. I know I don't. I snore if I gain a certain amount of weight, but I don't.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. It's doesn't happen overnight, but it's a 10-pound Now I'm below it, and life is better. I snore when I go over a certain weight. Oh, I start I didn't to snore. Some people has nothing to do with their weight. Some people it does, but it's very almost. I know on the scale, like don't get to 195 is what my nice weight. 190, 195.
195.
I can go to 2 and I still don't start snoring, but 205, it starts.
Yeah,
and it's life sucks because I choke and I wake up and I don't.
Oh, really?
And I don't get a good night's sleep. So it's more just aesthetics that I feel better when I'm like the 30 pounds.
Oh,
lighter.
Yeah.
But now I'm not at my thinnest, but I'm not snoring.
Do we want to talk about the event that happened, or has that been talked to death?
What event?
You know, with the old ticker.
Oh, I don't mind. I talk.
Have everyone asked you about it, though? Because I'm a little bit fascinated, but if you don't want to, no, if it's too sensitive, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to go there.
I'm more than that. No, I'll talk because you talk about different things about it. So it did happen. So I don't mind. I like talking.
Well,
about
for
it.
Those that don't know, Glassy had a heart attack when you were, what was it, about 4 years ago?
It was 11. I just swallowed my gum again.
And this is why the heart attack.
Oh, you. Doc, hello.
Hello, Dr. Hello, Bubble.
Dr. Bubble. Dr. Bubble. They're going to be my new.
Yeah.
It was 11 years ago.
Okay.
It was 11 years ago.
Scary as shit.
Let me tell you something. It was, yeah. I'm being totally serious. I always had a vision of what a heart attack was. So
yeah.
For the people, you know, that don't know, it was at Largo. It was Sarah Silverman and friends. And there was like other, Jeff Ross was there and Sarah Silverman, Chelsea Peretti. And I was going on and I did this bit where I ran through the crowd. So I thought that's what
so
I was out of
breath. So this happened at a show.
It happened at a show.
I did not know that.
Oh, you didn't know that. Yes. Jeez. So I'm running around the audience doing like a bit before I take the stage.
Yeah.
And then, of course, so that made me think, okay, you're out of breath because of that. You know, right. That was a good, if I hadn't done that bit, I probably would have been a little bit suspicious of why I couldn't get ahead of my breath, you know.
Do you think the running triggered the heart attack?
Well, that's yes, it couldn't clog my arteries.
Yeah.
You can, you know. But
let's just say it bubblegum filled arteries.
By bubblegum. Oh, God. I wish if standing up wasn't so, you know, I didn't want to make a ruckus. I would give you a standing ovation a few times tonight.
I wouldn't mind one. If you don't mind standing for that one, I'd love it. I would love.
You know, no, can I tell you what? No one gives anybody a standing ovation. I've done it naturally a few times during my podcast.
I'm going to give you one.
No. I'm going to have to get up on the chair.
I don't want to have a bubble attack. Thank you for that. That was a very nice standing O.
And so at one point, I just, after the show, I couldn't get my breath, and I thought it's because I smoked pot.
Oh, so you did the show.
I did the whole show.
Technically, you did the show while it was occurring.
I asked the doctor later, the Dr. Dohad, I said, how do you know when I was having a heart attack? Because he goes, oh, you're having a heart attack during your show. I go, how do you know that? And I don't remember his exact answer because I didn't want to just believe that I had did a show. And I'd like to put it under my, you know, a feather in your cap.
Yeah,
I was having a heart attack. I did 40 minutes.
Yeah, that's a great.
And he said, just by your where your, you know, what your heart, what your problems were and what happened when we got you here and you put everything together. So, but I didn't want to call an ambulance, and finally they did, and I remember thinking, oh, no, I don't, it's embarrassing.
Yeah,
it's
of course. It's embarrassing. It's weird, and plus you don't know for certainty that that's what it is.
Exactly.
So you think, oh, everyone's making a big to-do. Isn't that what happened sort of with Gary Shandling? I remember when I heard the story about his passing that the night before he had all these chests, he's like, oh, I'm not, and he never called anyone, and
it's, you know, I forget how I think my brother said it once. Of course, it's not good or healthy, and people that have it don't like it. It's a stressful life to be a, what is it when you think, a hypochondriac.
Yeah.
So you don't want to be a hypochondriac, but it's not being a hypochondriac, at least the way I live my life. Whatever it is, go get a test. Go get an MRI. Like, rule out so you don't later have to go, there are some, you know, things you could do, so it's a wasted trip.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm going, you know what, I'm going, one of the reasons I wanted to ask you about it, I'm going this Friday.
Good,
get a test. To have one of those full, you lay on the table and they do the full x-ray of your heart.
Right.
Everything.
That type of stuff. Like, yeah, because then you get ahead of stuff. There's so much technology now. If you get ahead of it, there's certain things, it's still rough. But anyway.
Yeah.
So they luckily we were right across. They took me over to Cedars.
Oh, yeah, you were right there. Largo's right there. Like right down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you got there, was there ever, it sounds like you had like a pain in you, but was there ever one of those like moments where you just like buckled over?
No, I didn't have that type of pain.
Oh, wow.
But when the guy in the ambulance told me I'm having a heart attack, I'm not kidding. This is literally what I said. He goes, "Sir, right now you're having a heart attack." And I go, "Shut the fuck up." Like, meaning like, what? Like, I thought when you had a heart attack, you're like you're flailing around. I don't know why.
Or dead.
Or you can't even talk.
Yeah.
And I'm like, here I am. I'm having a heart attack. Well, hello. Let's get me over to the hospital. And then they got me over there, and, you know, it was it all went well. You know, the doctor came very quick. And
what was the name of your doctor again?
Dr. Dohad. That guy was the real deal.
Dr. Dohad.
I asked him if I was going to need... by the way, in the hallway, I passed by, like, Flanagan from Largo, the owner, and Sarah, and Chelsea Peretti. I forget if Chelsea was there.
Oh, all the comics went over?
They went over, like, three. And they were at the hallway, like, when they were taking me to surgery, they let you stop. It's funny, I said to Sarah, but I'm all doped up. I said, yeah, they stopped and let us talk. She goes, they didn't stop really that long. She goes, they were rushing you to surgery, but they stopped for, like, say goodbye, maybe forever, Sarah said. So they didn't say that, but Sarah goes,
it's weird if you think of it. That's been a possible outcome.
Right, exactly.
That's so scary.
So I said, but I thought, I'm not changing this around in post to make it like more funny than, but I literally thought, be funny. Like, you've got to say something funny. And all that came to me was, "Sorry, yeah, I just want to let you know your boyfriend cheats on you." So Sarah says back, "Todd, if you live, this is going to be very uncomfortable." That was the moment we had. Boom, and off to the surgery I went.
Wow.
And I asked the doctor if I would need open heart surgery. He was like this guy had a great energy around him. Dr. Doughboy, he would love it. He goes, "Let's get you in the surgery. I don't think we're going to need to do open heart surgery, but let's get you in there." And he was right. They didn't need to do open heart surgery. Can I tell you?
Please.
I remember thinking.
By the way, the reason I'm asking, I don't think I've ever met or talked to anyone in my life who's had a heart attack. So, what happened?
I'm bypassing this one part of it, but I'll get to it. But since I've never talked to you about it, I'll go back and tell you, then we'll come back here.
Okay.
There was a point, but Harlan, I'm not, like, why do I say that a lot? Because when something sounds comedic in your life, you want to preface, look, I know this sounds like, you know, not really something that would happen, but I remember them pulling my pants off, and it was so embarrassing because, you know, there's your dick. There it is, just laying there.
It was right there.
It's right there.
Underneath your pants.
Underneath my pants, and they pulled my pants off. You know, they pulled my pants off.
You know your heart's way up here, right?
I'm already having a heart attack. What are you guys trying to do?
What the hell was Dr. Doughfingers doing?
He wasn't even in the room at this point.
Oh, God, who was? Johnny Vaseline hands?
Yeah, what's going on in there?
Hell?
It's like dark porn, you know?
Good Lord.
So I just was like, you know, just thinking. Like,
you're so vulnerable.
So vulnerable, right. And in my act, I say I just wanted to, you know, like, just get it a little nice for the doctor. But anyway, they bring me up when they brought me in. They bring me got the surgery, came back into my room.
Yeah.
And this will tell you everything you know about me. I'm in my room at like 5 in the morning.
Okay.
Now it's like 5-6 in the morning.
Okay.
And I told the doctor, I go, "I feel like I have blood rushing through my body," because he came into the room at that point. And he goes, "You do." He goes, "Your main artery was like 100% blocked."
100.
And I ran for an hour and a half that morning on the treadmill. I ran every day. So, you know, but not with the exhilaration. And then I was afraid afterwards, because I go to the gym every day. He goes, "You can't." I go, "What happened if I ran like for 3 hours straight?" He goes, "You can't run your arteries clogged." He goes, you could get heat exhaustion and faint.
Yeah.
But he goes, if you test yourself every year, I go twice a year.
You do?
I take the Lipitor. I changed a lot. I don't smoke. Yeah, the moon could fall out of the, you know, whatever that expression is. But he goes, Todd, you're safe. Like, go you live are. Your life. Yeah, he goes, you're fine. You had what no damage to your heart. And if I needed open heart surgery, I thought, I don't know why I thought this, it would have put me into, I've never been depressed. I get into funks, but I think it would depress me. I remember, my friend, they split your ribs open.
Yeah, they open. Didn't they do that to Letterman? They opened his whole rib cage.
They did it to my dad when he was 30.
Oh, God.
And they ripped your, and I could have, what made it that it would have gotten me into, I could have prevented it. I was supposed to be on Lipitor. It existed.
Oh, wow.
And I got off of it. I just got off of it. You know, I
so
wasn't
you
thinking.
Were on it and you mm-hmm. got off. Oh, wow.
And I went and had a test after I'd been off of it for 6 months. And I said to the doctor, by the way, I'm not on the whatever, it wasn't Lipitor then.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, he goes, if you can not be on Lipitor, I'm never, medicine's never the best way if you can do it naturally. So I was like, oh, okay. And then I slowly stopped doing it naturally.
Oh.
And then, boom, my arteries clogged.
So what is the medical reason that your specific artery just clogged right up? Was
Plaque?
It your diet? Was diet. It your...
Diet hereditary, but, it's not so hereditary where I haven't changed it drastically. So I think it's mixed a little bit of hereditary. But I think the danger of that is using that as an excuse. Oh, it's hereditary. All right, you can still do something about
it. But I never understood, because you're a young, healthy-looking guy. So when you say diet, I figure everyone on planet Earth eats a certain amount of junk food, a certain amount. But I feel
more.
Like you got to be eating like a buckets of grease every day to completely 100% clog your art at your age and with your physique.
Well, that's why there's that ad. The guy, he looks like he's 50, but in like literally like 25-year-old shape.
Yeah.
And he's walking off a diving board. And he's going to jump, and this guy's like, and then it gives his cholesterol stats, at the bottom. It goes, hey, but it can be hereditary, or you can luck out and not. But I do eat. I mean, late at night, and not being on the Lipitor. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I have my sweet tooth is still there late at night, and I ate a lot of bad food, but I did quit smoking, and I did do a lot of good things. But now I use the Lipitor to make up.
You've changed your habits.
Yeah. No. Well. Yeah. A lot. But my eating. Oh, late at night, I can't. It's hard to stop. Start. I thought you had a dog. Oh, I would have a pizza. I'm always hungry. Right now, I'm hungry. Is that real?
It's a 7-Eleven pizza.
Are they
the best?
I'd never had one.
Well. Well, if you're on Lipitor, you might as well.
Wait, God. Where did you get this from?
7-Eleven.
No,
see,
but
the
where
logo's
did you
right
have? Where did you? I know, but where did you have it?
Well, right under here.
For what purpose?
Well, I was going to give it to you at the end as a present.
Oh, thank you. I wish I could heat it up.
Well, if you put your hands on it,
how
warm are your hands?
Well, thank you. I never had one.
Yeah,
but I will tell you. Oh, never mind.
What?
Well, I got one of those cheap little, they're like...
Oh, here we go.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ.
What is it?
You know how they have, they're like gigantic toaster ovens, they're like little pizza ovens, but
yeah.
they're not,
yeah.
it's like $120.
Yeah.
But you can put like a small pizza in
yeah.
it. I learned that even the cheaper pizzas at Vaughn's, like if you go get a few, like the just a simple pizza.
Yeah.
And you can sprinkle something on it, give it a little. Yeah. Pulling it out of the oven, probably what I'm saying this is because probably it's true with this. When you pull it right out of the oven, it tastes pretty better than you think a lot.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking
about?
Yeah. A simple little pizza, fresh out of the oven.
Yeah.
I have a little sauce there. I can dip it in if I want to.
What's the sauce?
I use red sauce or pink sauce. Sometimes I'm in the mood to dip it in pink sauce.
What's a pink sauce?
Pink sauce is like it is pink, but it's like... it's like red sauce, but I think it's the equivalent of adding a little cream cheese to red sauce. And it turns it pink, and it's got a sweeter flavor.
You
never had pink sauce?
No.
I mean, I don't recommend making a pink sauce pizza, although it might be okay, but I just sometimes dip it in there. But nevertheless, I can't believe you would probably like it.
It's just a sauce, just so we're clear. It's a sauce,
yes.
And it's pink.
It is pinkish, yes.
So it's just a colored sauce.
Well,
there's no food derivative. It's just a... It's like melting a crayon.
No,
dipping, I mean, just pink.
Do you like red sauce? Aha! Red, what's
wrong? I don't
know
what that is.
No, yes, you do. Yes, you do. What about? Oh, I'm glad I thought of that. That's a good one. You red sauce. Red sauce, you're like, you're fine with red sauce. Oh, you red like a crown? They just melt crowns down and you have red sauce.
Wait. Aren't sauces, isn't it supposed to be
white,
like...
White, so they're
like
all
like butter sauce or garlic sauce.
Butter sauce.
Isn't there supposed to be like food attached? It's not just sauces aren't just a color.
I can't believe you said butter sauce.
What do you mean? Oh, because of your heart?
Christ. No, was my other nickname.
Butter sauce when you're on the soccer team.
When I was on the soccer team.
Oh, my God. Here he goes down the left side. There he is. Butter sauce. He's running in. Butter sauce scores. Butter sauce.
I thought I'd never live. I thought you said it for that reason.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Forgot.
It's okay. It's okay. Wow. But thank you for the pizza.
You're welcome.
Is it really for me?
Yeah, that's for you.
Because it's still cold. People.
Yeah, I just pulled it out of the freezer not too long ago.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, all right, thank you.
The frozen pizza.
7-Eleven, baby.
Do you entertain? Are you seem like a guy who likes to like get with your group of buddies and you know, socialize? Are you a guy that likes to open up to your friends and talk to them, or are you more guarded? I feel like you're more the open, like you can talk about it. Just the way we talked about the heart thing.
Yeah. I like having people over my house.
You do.
It's easy to park in my neighborhood, so that's an advantage. Oh, you know,
bingo. Yeah.
So I think about that, and I know how to create an atmosphere. I'm very good at that.
Oh wow!
So
tell me.
I have a fire pit in my backyard, which a lot of people do, but there's not cement benches around it because I see a lot of people they build fire pits even when they have like so much money. Cement. You got to put like comfortable chairs around there.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you ever build a do you have a fire pit?
I do have a fire pit.
Oh, shit. I hope I didn't insult
you. No, not at all. So I have logs around mine.
I have nice. So I have a fire pit. And also, I just know how to like, you know, it's basically stealing ideas. Like when you're at a nice hotel and you see a torch, I remember thinking, isn't it weird how one torch, let alone three?
Yeah.
And like, I don't have time to light 100 candles because I'm impatient. But if someone's coming over my house and I go, yeah, come over. Or I'll run into the backyard. I'll light the three torches.
Tiki torches.
I paint them black because I don't like the label on it. It looks cheap. Oh, and I put one on a little. I don't even put them in the sticks. I have like three, like a coffee table. That way it creates, you hang around the fire. It's like, I call them like they're lazy fire pits. They're teeny fire pits.
Yeah.
It's bigger than a candle, but if you put one somewhere, people congregate around it.
But are you doing the alloy metal ones, or are you doing the French Polynesian sort of wicker ones, the more organic, ones?
I'll do both. I have these others. They're like glass. They're like, and they look, but they're just torches, basically, you know?
Screaming.
So I have people over a lot, and I know how to get like some, you know, I used to do big dinners.
How do you? I can't get my head around that.
See, I don't like doing that anymore.
Why?
It's too much. The dinners, like do like 20 people.
That's a lot.
For dinner. My ex and I had, he had a lot of, he liked them.
Yeah.
And they were fun. 20 people seated is very.
That's a lot.
It's a good look, though. I mean, like, we do it the night before.
Yeah.
And to look at the table. It is fun to look at. It's a lot of warmth. It's like, wow, soon that's going to be seated with people just smoking pot and eating and drinking and having fun.
You can almost feel the energy that's going to happen. Exactly. I used to do that. My family would come down from Canada, and I'd do the whole dining room table for Christmas.
Yeah.
And I'd just see it the night before, and I go, it's like a picture of the ghosts. It's a good, warm feeling.
It is nice.
And I'd whip
really
up a
like
nice
it.
Tzatziki, and I'd have it out with a nice Christmas tzatziki and some homemade baklavas there.
Wow, bakala?
Well, if you want to say it wrong. And I'd sea urchin. I'd make sea urchin for Christmas urchins. Unbelievable.
I believe all the other stuff you're saying.
And crab puffs. My family loved crab puffs.
Did they really?
Do you know how to make a puff?
No, I don't. I mean, I would probably buy them frozen.
Okay.
But you don't. You make them?
Yeah, I like to do my own puffs.
You was anything you said true? The tzatziki?
No.
Can I tell you what I love about you? You don't mind later saying no, it's not true. Yeah. Now, I can't go on unless someone tells me if you go. So you'll stick to the bit. You meet in the middle. You stick to the bit. I have no idea. But then later, if I go, is that true? And you go, no, it helps me. You go, okay, I didn't think that was true. Am I making any sense?
Yeah, you are. You are.
Okay.
But when you prepare these meals,
yeah,
is it you doing all the cooking, or that sounds like a big ask?
Okay. Do you really care?
I do.
Well, I'm afraid sometimes. Like, I'll say to myself, "Is it boring?" I'll give you the medium version of the story.
Okay.
So when we used to have people over, and I was like at that point like 33. Yeah. Chris was 23.
Yeah.
And but he had a ton of friends.
Okay.
And they would all come over the house.
Yeah.
But there was a neighbor two doors up. We knew he worked at the Ritz-Carlton. He managed the Ritz-Carlton. Okay. Before that, we'd borrow tables. Oh, we're having people over, we're gonna have a big dinner. We'll borrow tables. And one day he goes, you know, he had an English accent. He goes, come on over, I'll give you whatever you need. So we went to the basement. I had an open bedded truck in the back. Because before that, we'd have parties. Hey, can you bring three chairs? Can you?
Yeah.
The reason I'm telling you this is because then once this happened, it really made it easier.
Okay.
So we go to the bottom of the Ritz-Carlton. I go over there. He's like, yeah, what do you need? He goes, and he's got two guys putting stuff. I go, can I get like 30 chairs? Because I thought, wouldn't it be cool if all the chairs match? He goes, yeah. He goes, get the covers for him too. And he, you know, runs over, gets the covers. He goes, how many tables do you need? He gives us the tables. And then he gives us chafing dishes, but like the ones you get at the Ritz-Carlton where the tin opens. You don't have to take the top off and go put it somewhere.
Halfway open.
Gave us three of those. And every other thing, tablecloths, loaded us up.
Yeah.
So now it's very easy because you have everything.
Yeah.
We had a four-car garage. Two of it we cleaned out. Just because we were cleaning out, we went, because it's an old carriage house. Where Chris is like, we should just put that barn table in here and have an outdoor dining room.
Oh, damn.
We took the doors off.
Yeah.
And it was pretty cool in there.
Yeah. But
a week later, I go, hey, Jared, I go, we're going to return the stuff. He goes, you know what? He goes, it's okay because I don't mind. He wants to go there anyway, but like it was some Ritz-Carlton, they were going to make him run overseas somewhere.
He okay.
goes, and I can't really, he goes, do you mind just keeping that stuff? I feel a little guilty about it, but I don't really give a shit. And he just gave it to us.
You got all that free furniture.
All that free stuff. So we had the room to store it. So when we had those dinners and the chafing dishes for me, because I'm not a preparer as people get there. I can't, things have to be, you put, the reason it heats the food with water for people that, you know,
underneath.
A lot of people, it's the water. So you keep it warm without drying it out. That's just the premise of it.
Yeah,
you can do everything before people get there. It's just waiting in these things.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine, mom, told me the best thing when you're not, when one thing's done, don't do things that involve, if you're already nervous, don't have garlic bread you got to take out of the oven. Have soft rolls on the table already. Boom, they're there. A salad, because it's a room temperature meal. Green beans with garlic sauce. As many things, you don't have to be, a lot of things can be on the table. Yeah. So that's the premise we use. Yeah. Now here's the last thing. So Chris liked to cook sometimes. Sometimes he cooked, did it all.
Yeah.
I had tricks. I'm not a cooker. I don't.
Yeah, so I that's like, what I was wondering, if you actually did the hands off.
Okay. I don't have the patience.
Yeah.
But I have tricks.
Okay, and so you're serving cereal?
That's a trick. Oh, I got a trick. You think it's going to be like, and I go to the store and I replayed it. Oh, I serve cereal. No, but I do like to have breakfast for dinner and have people.
Oh, I love that.
Because you can be full, but not. But anyway,
yeah.
I would go buy like at Vaughn's or wherever, like turkey meatloaves.
Yeah.
And because everybody likes it, put turkey meatloaf and put like them in the chafing dishes with like better cheese on them and melt it all over. So I go over and I get like 6, 8, 10 of them.
10 meatloafs?
Well, there'd be like 20 people. One is like little.
That's like a meatloaf army.
Yeah, that's the name of my first band.
Is it really?
Yeah. Or I'd go buy like, I'd do things that were pretty easy, you know, buy lasagnas from this like up the street. Three, four lasagnas.
So three lasagnas, 10 meatloaves.
No, either or.
I picture knights rushing your house and you guys just hanging out the window throwing meatloaves at people. God.
He did better food than I did. I don't have the patience to cook. I admire people that do, that can go into the kitchen and, but on my head's a little too.
That's why I was asking, because I'm two things. I was asking about the heart attack because it's a world I've never got to talk to someone about, and I've never really talked about a dude friend about cooking and stuff.
Yeah.
But somehow I just wondered if you did it.
And you were right. I don't. I don't
you
really.
You don't, but no. you do entertain a little.
I like, yeah, now I don't even, now to be honest, I don't like to do anything but just have groups of people over. I don't want a big party. Oh. Like have 7-8 people over to me is like a nice, fun night.
And it's just a hang. It's not dinner. It's just like chill out.
Do the fun part, hanging out with my friends.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know how to go get good snacks. You got Uber Eats. You can have a fun night. Yeah. But the less prep I have to do, the more fun I'm going to have. Light some torches, have some pot, have people over, get the fire pit going. That's all you got to do. Just create a cool atmosphere, which I'm very good at.
You're really good.
And then the other thing, just hang within that atmosphere. That's pretty much what I always do. Yeah. I'm going to have you over. I would love to have you over.
Yeah, I've never been over. I'd love to come by one time.
You'd be around the fire pit with, you know what would be great to have you do mushrooms and have you over, and you just got to exist, but it would be very entertaining for everybody.
Wow, I think you're right.
Have you ever, you don't drink or do you have any?
I have tried mushrooms recently.
Really?
For the first time.
And what was it?
And it was fabulous. It was fun. It was, I'm a guy that doesn't indulge very often because I'm always laughing in my head already. Yes. But when I have a beer or I do something like that, oh my God, I go from like here to here with, I just want to laugh. I'm not looking to see a purple elephant. I'm not trying to find inner demons. I'm not trying to resolve any issues. I just want to laugh my ass off.
Harlan, and I agree, and no disrespect that people that want to do more than that.
Yeah, that's their thing.
Not even sarcastic. Yeah. Like, I totally get it. But the way I feel exactly like you, and what I always say is, I don't mind getting high. I don't even mind floating off the ground a teeny bit.
Yeah.
But if I shift my weight, it's because I want to come back down. I want to
be in control.
Yeah. I want to be in control. And my friend has this stuff. He calls it giggle juice. And it's made from mushrooms.
Oh.
And it's soaking them in it. And then he pours it out. He strains it. And he calls it giggle juice. And Harlan, I am not kidding around. It has its name for the proper reason. It's perfect. It's like, it's more than pot. But it's level and it comes into you. There's no comeuppance or whatever they call that. You know, when you get a little stomachache.
Yeah.
And it was just, I've done it twice. And I'm like, Andy, my friend, he's a musician. His name is Andy Fresco. And I'm like, this giggle juice, I got to.
You just laugh for hours?
It was like that. It was like you were just aware what people were saying. Maybe you were more invested in the animation. And I had it very dark for that so we could. And some people, I told my friend that, because he never did mushrooms, I said, I know what it's like to be at someone's house and you get a little nauseous or you go lay in a bed.
Yeah.
If we see you on the bed with it, we'll know it's because you needed to just go be alone. We won't even bother you. So, and about 2 hours in, I go in and my friend is fully clothed under the blanket. I didn't picture that. I just pictured laying on top of the bed.
He's tucked in.
I left him. I'm like, I'm glad I told him that.
Yeah.
And he stayed for about 40 minutes. He woke up and he joined the party again. He just needed to go. But anyway, giggle juice, Harlan.
Yeah. My experience was last year I was a Burning Man. And,
I'm jealous.
I was with a friend of mine and we tried the shroomies and we went out onto the playa and there's a lot of performance artists and stuff. And we're out this dark area in the desert and some little eerie lights and someone planted like thousands of fake, looked like weeds, like grasses. It was like all of a sudden in the barren desert, there was like this little big giant patch of grass and some topless girl with just a robe on. Her whole shtick was she somehow put some kind of like bubble over her head and it was like probably about 4 feet high and her head was inside the bubble and she was dancing around. Yeah. And this bubble's going and she's got lights in it and everything. And so at first we were like, how artsy? And then of course I made the comment, holy fuck, she's getting attacked by a fart. And her head was in a fart for the next hour. And everyone's there like, ooh, look at the art. And me and my friend were buckled over. This girl's head was being consumed by her own fart. And it was changing colors and the eerie music's going. I'll put a video up of it. I think I have a video. But that's the
was that fun to see?
It was so fun, but it
who
was
thought of that to. You would like to see that on mushrooms because that's they're right, right?
I don't know. It was just someone doing an outdoor art thing.
Oh, you just you
and
just,
we walked up on it.
Oh my God!
We were and at first we were like, "Ooh, look at the art! Look at right. the eclectic bubblehead!" And then of course, as soon as we established that bubble over her head, and you could see her head inside, and she's like going like this, and we were like, "Now she's got this changing color fart on her head."
Oh,
and
my
we were
God.
Dying. We died for about 40 minutes, and people around us were just like they couldn't even fathom our laughing fit.
Yeah,
but that's where I want to be when I do that stuff.
Yeah, well, I'm right with you with that. It's just, and that's what this giggle. What if you found out I sell it? The end of my show. Well, you can get that yeah. giggle juice over on my website.
Yeah.
Wow. How long ago was this thing?
This was last summer.
And you went to Burning Man.
Yeah, last summer.
Is that the first time you ever went?
It's my fifth time.
Wow.
I've already got my tickets for this year, too. You've never been?
No, and I've had serious talks about it. My friends that know me go, Todd, look, you're not going to enjoy a festival unless you can do it the way you need to do it.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't want to do anything in the day. So I just need like an air conditioned.
Yeah, that's what I do. I get an RV.
Oh, you do?
You get an RV, you drive it in, you can sleep all day, you can do whatever you
want.
And
then at night,
you're out all night, you can go into your RV whenever you want. Air conditioning, shower, bathroom, stove. It's like,
and how far, like, I even ask questions like this when I'm very seriously about contemplating about finally going to a music festival. What's the, how far is the RV place from where you have to walk to see the shows?
As soon as you open your door.
It's right, it's that close. It's not like you got to walk a quarter of a mile. I've heard stories, you know.
No, everyone has a bike. You have to have a bicycle, but the Burning Man experience, as soon as you open your door, it's there. It's going right by your street.
Has there another festival that you've ever been to you would recommend?
Nothing eclipses Burning Man. I've been all over the world. Wow. I've been to different things. Burning Man is like landing on another planet. You can't even verbally describe it. That's how...
Wow.
And everyone who's ever gone has come back and just been like, wow. Yeah.
Is that in Palm Springs?
No, it's in Nevada. It's up north.
What's in Palm Springs? What's the other one?
That's like Coachella. That's just a bunch of people walking around in the heat from soundstage to soundstage watching, you know, Berlin and Pet Shop Boys and Bay City Rollers, you know.
Okay. Yeah. I asked for a reason, but it doesn't matter. But yeah, I really do. I have to figure out, like, because at nighttime, what's the temperature there at night?
It fluctuates. One year I went and it was sort of chilly. You could see your breath.
Oh, that's fine.
And then all the other times I've been there, it's been really nice. Like, sort of like.
So no 90, 100 degrees?
No, not at night. It's a desert, so it cools down at night.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you go with anybody?
Yeah, I have a little group of buddies that I go with.
Nice.
It's a riot, buddy. You'd love it.
Yeah, I'm gonna make it happen.
Well, before you do that, it's time for words from a wooden shoe. This is something we do with all our guests, Todd.
Okay,
Todd Glass. How it works is you reach in the authentic Dutch clog, pull out a word, and see if it inspires a story from your journey, my friend.
Okay,
just reach in there and read your word to the folks. We go. What is it?
There is something about a... Can I say the word?
Yeah.
Potato. I wanted turkey.
Potato. Interesting.
Well, this one's not that good, just because it involves the word potato. But I remember this woman, her name was Linda Michaels, and I had bad... I had dyslexia before they knew what it was.
Oh, you have dyslexia?
Yeah. Yeah. You have it too, and so my mom would always try to get people to help me, like with my homework and stuff. So this woman on the block, her name was Linda Michael. She was a teacher. She tutored me on the side, and I told her, I said, I was in second grade. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I go, oh, your mashed potatoes are lumpy because I wasn't eating them.
Oh boy,
you know, texture for a little kid can be like. I go, I didn't say anything. I knew not to say anything, but when she asked me why, it was like, your mashed potatoes are lumpy. My mom's are more fluffy. Like, I was like, wow. something like that. Anyway, so she was like nice about it, I'm sure. But I do remember, I go, she goes, do you want anything for dessert?
Wow.
And I go, oh, could, because once before I just had a spoonful of peanut butter and I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
And she said, yeah, but if you tell me my mashed potatoes aren't lumpy. Like, and she was just being playful, wow. but also probably insecure now that I think about it. And then she gave me peanut butter. And it was chunky peanut butter. I'm like, what the fuck is going on
and
here?
You said it was lumpy.
I still no. And it wasn't as bad as lumpy mashed potatoes for me, but I didn't like it either. But I ate the whole thing. I knew to eat the whole spoonful.
This has a little bit, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's a little hint of Mrs. Robinson on this. Were you being seduced? No, because when I hear you telling a woman she's lumpy. Something very seductive about this story. What? Did
yeah, in second grade. Oh, I look, and I'm the aggressor. That's what makes it somewhat we can, we can joke about. I'm the one. Hey, I like your your mashed potatoes are lumpy. For a second grader, I wish I was that cool.
Wow. So no, she wasn't trying to hit on you?
No.
For real?
No, I knew her husband. We were friends. No, we weren't friends, but no, not that she couldn't. I just, she never made me uncomfortable. I'm trying to answer you seriously.
She wasn't making a move?
No, she never made me uncomfortable.
It sounds like a lead-in line from a kid, though. Hey, yeah. Mrs. Robinson, your potatoes are sure are mushy, lumpy.
Yeah.
And then
she goes, do you want
puts
some?
Her leg up.
And then the and then the creamy peanut butter.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. No, but I do. Did you ever look back in your life and think someone, oh, they were like hitting on me or they were making in not being?
Yeah.
Like, you didn't know then?
Yeah.
Though? Yeah, I think so too.
I went to a birthday party when I was a kid. I'll never forget. I went to one of my friend's birthday parties and our parents had to come pick us up after. And all the other kids had sort of left and I was the last kid. And I remember the parents of the kid, the mother put me up on her lap and she was like putting me really close to her boobs. And then the father was kind of crouched down and they were sort of like talking. And even as a little kid, I thought, this feels a little too close. They never touched me. Suddenly my dad showed up and my whole life I sort of went, if my dad didn't come when he came, I think something might have happened. It was really weird. Like they never touched me, but it was way too, they go, oh, you're such a cute little boy. And they were like, and I was like, something, even as a kid, it's interesting how your radar goes.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Something's amiss.
You know sometimes, and that's why it's important to obviously to teach your kids, obviously to respect authority, but not to the point. The problem with the old days, that's why I hate when people say, oh, we should go back. No, that wasn't good either.
Yeah.
You have to, you don't want your kid to be so scared of authority that they let that type of thing happen. And that happened more back then. You were, but now,
Well, for all I know, they were just being very loving enough because nothing sexual happened, but it felt like much more adulation than I'd ever had from any other parents or grown-ups. And they were so like coddling and oh you're so cute and I was like one of those mannequin dolls on their lap
and I
always wondered as I got old if my dad hadn't showed up when he did would have learning later in life that people do that shit to kids but nothing bad happened thank goodness but that was probably to answer your question the closest that ever came
I had it happen the other way my teacher no
Whoa.
It is funny to see a second grade kid leaning up against the wall. Maybe third.
Yeah.
Like that would make a difference. Hey, how are you?
Whoa, lumpy.
Lumpy.
Before we go, buddy, I want you to have this because...
Oh!
No, just because... Please.
Have you done this ever before?
What?
You brought pizzas out like that?
Just for you, my guy.
That's the best.
Yeah. Double pizzas.
Thank you.
Before we go, buddy, one last time. I know we covered it off the top, but I want to drive it home because this is important. I know you put a lot into this comedy show. Tell them again where they can see it, where they can get involved.
ToddGlass.com and takes you right over to Seed and Spark. I will tell you, because I think it's a good, it's the highest tier. There's so many in between tiers. Yeah. Like different things. They'll see it. They're over there. I don't need, it's going to be easier if they just go there and see the tiers. Like all those crowd sources have tiers. And there's some cool ones. But the highest one is.
Yeah.
The highest one is. I'll take 30 seconds to say this. Is
say
that right?
It, please.
Well, the one below that is name the band after you for one night. You know,
is that right?
Yeah, name the band. That's a higher end item. But the highest tier is pay for the whole thing. So here's the sell on it. So once I get the funding, then I will go to my comedian friends that have larger audiences. You know, for lack of a better word, some famous comedian friends.
Yeah.
Some will say no, I'm sure politely, but I know four or five will say yes to present me. So in other words, once I have the money, I don't want to go to them for their money.
Right.
I don't comfortable doing that, but for their name. So then I'll go, you know, like, I don't want to say the names, but like four people on a billboard, whoever them present, because it's usually one person presents.
Four
people present.
Ooh.
Todd Glass. It'll be a little maybe kitsch idea. Also help put people in seats.
Bill Burr, Chris Rock.
People with the money. People with the money. They are two people with the money. Once I have the money, then the person, if one person pays for it, then their name
goes up.
Now, if you're a benefactor on that alone, like if you're like that, the money, we're looking for like 150. That's not a lot for a benefactor. Or maybe, what would happen if two people came? We can both give 75, but we want both our names up there. You know what? Yeah,
done.
We'd squeeze them up there.
Done.
But no, it can't do more than that.
Yeah, can't do more than that.
But anyway, that's the high tier item.
Wow.
ToddGlass.com, over to Seed and Spark. Thanks for letting me give it a second.
Oh my God, are you kidding?
All right, I got one more thing.
Yeah.
I tried to get obsessed on every second that I had the audience in my power. Like we said, well, they're being seated. Well, they're before the show, after the show.
Yeah.
I said to my friend, I go, what's an area we're not thinking of? And she, within 1 second, she goes, what about when they, if they bring the hot chocolate home? Because the water's not in it when I give it to go.
Okay.
And they bring it home and they're eating the cookies and the hot chocolate. Make a playlist that they can listen to. So I started doing that. So now they can go home. Hey, first thing I do is lower your lights, you know,
like,
eat your cookies.
Yeah.
And I have music they can listen to. So I really do try to
create a mood.
Create from as much time as I can probably stretch the night out to make it something special. So there we go. Thank you.
Todd Glass.
Harlan.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This was so much fun.
Wasn't it good?
Oh, this was just you. I mean, obviously, you really, this was a lot of fun. I appreciate it. We got to hang out more than we ever got.
Yeah, I
want to
come
out to
one of your fire pit parties.
You're going
to
be there for self-serving reasons because I want to have you there.
But I want to go. I want to see the tiki lamps.
And you know what we'll do? We'll think of one person we both know.
Okay.
That we both like or two.
Okay.
And then we'll have them with us.
Will you be offended if I bring some pink sauce?
No, I'd love it.
Don.
I think you're going to...
Don't you think... Sorry, I cut you off.
No. I think you might like pink sauce if you try it, but... We'll talk about that at the fire pit.
We will?
Yes, and we'll be back.
Okay, hold on. So then now you say, now hit the theme song.
Now you can hit the theme song.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's right. You're on the Harlan Highway podcast. Todd Glass, check out his stand-up comedy. Where's your schedule for your shows?
At ToddGlass.com.
ToddGlass.com. Get in on his crowdfunding, folks.
TikTok, Instagram, having a ball over there. Chad Maxwell, thank you for helping me.
And as a little health thing, I told you I'm going to get my heart checked this week. After talking to Todd, everyone, take the time to go and get yourself checked. Right, Todd?
Yes.
Preventive, right?
Danny Duncan, you let me down.
Yeah. Lonnie Lemonade Lips. And until next time, everybody, chicken chow mein, and we'll see you next time.